Welcome to this 11KBW podcast on cross-border issues by Judy Stone. This talk was given at the 11KBW Commercial Employment Litigation Conference on the 13th of January at the IET in London. For more podcasts and information, please visit 11kbw.com.
So, turning now to the international stage, the single most eagerly awaited development of 2019, not least by its publishers, was the long-awaited publication of International Employment Disputes, edited by Ms. Rogers together with Dan Oudkirk, QC, and published finally last year. But other lesser developments, which I'm going to focus on today, are two key cases on the special rules for employees on the international stage, one case on the special rules for company law, and then special in its own way, just a little bit on Brexit to finish up. So turning to the special rules for employees, as many of you are no doubt aware, the Brussels-Lugano regime, which we remain part, has special rules for matters relating to individual employment contracts, most notably because employees can only be sued in their place of domicile. So two questions always are whether there is an individual employment contract and whether the matter to which you're concerned relates to it. The key case in 2019 on the special rules, long awaited not only by those who had just submitted their chapters to the book that I mentioned in the first place, was the CGEU judgment in the Arcadia litigation. So many of you may be familiar with the facts, but it concerned Bosworth and Hurley. They were the effective CEO and CFO of a group of companies. They're both British nationals domiciled in Switzerland. Each were party to employment contracts that they had drafted themselves. They were sued by a number of the group companies in London initially for damages by fraudulent transactions and unlawful means conspiracy, breaches of fiduciary duties, and breaches of express and implied contractual terms. Now, that last part was swiftly withdrawn when they challenged jurisdiction, as the employers wanted to avoid, if possible, the effects of the special rules. Initially, the High Court held that the UK could hear all of those claims except those that related to a claim by an employer against an employee who was an employee at that time. Court of Appeal dismissed the ever appeal, and the Supreme Court referred it to the CJEU for judgment. The reference was on both questions, first as to whether there was an individual employment contract, and secondly whether those claims, unlawful conspiracy, breaches of fiduciary duties, whether they were matters that related to it within the relevant sense. The hope was that the CGEU would make everything clear. Unfortunately, or fortunately in some respects, that wasn't quite the case. First, the CJEU held that individual contract of employment had an autonomous meaning in EU law. And for current purposes, the key issue is that subordination was a necessary feature of the relationship. What was required was a hierarchical relationship between the employee and the employer. And this is assessed on all the circumstances. On the facts of Arcadia, both Bosworth and Hurley, CEO, CFO, drafted their own contracts, huge amounts of autonomy on their daily lives. The CJU held that there was a non-negligible ability to influence the company and their own behaviour, so there was no subordination and no employment relationship at all. Was it important that they had to answer to their shareholders? No. What about the fact that the shareholders had powers to hire and fire them? Also no. Bosworth and Hurley were not employees and can be sued in the usual way outside of the special rules. However, the CJEU, by consequence of that primary conclusion, didn't go on to consider the issue about matters arising from employment contracts. So the law remains that, as determined by the Court of Appeal, but it's important to note the Attorney General did have something to say about it. And just to state it very shortly, the Attorney General's preferential view was it should be just how the claimant puts the case. So if the claimant puts it as a breach of contract, then that's how one should look at it. Or he has a secondary position, which was that if it could have been put as a breach of contract case, in effect, if it was the case that you had to prove the terms of the contract to define it, then that would be something that might fall within the special rules. But it's fair to say that the second aspect, whether a matter is something that relates to a contract of employment is very much up in the air and remains so after the Arcadia judgment. The second case of 2019, and this is a narrower point, so I'll deal with it rather more briefly, is relates to a settlement dispute. Under Article 23 of the regime, parties can depart from the special rules, but only by an agreement entered after the dispute has arisen. In the UCOS case, there was a settlement agreement, which expressed itself to be subject to Dutch law in the Dutch courts. After the settlement, the employer received further evidence that the employee in question had been taking kickbacks, wanted to bring a fresh claim in the UK courts, both seeking to annul the settlement agreement and also a breach in itself. The Court of Appeal, upholding the first instance decision, said first that these were matters relating to the employment contract because there was a nexus between the original, between the breaches of the employment contract and the attempt to annul the contract. And secondly, though, that the settlement agreement was not an agreement that was entered after the dispute has arisen, but that you need both the parties disagreeing on a specific point and also legal proceedings imminent or contemplated. And you couldn't disagree on a specific point unless you'd communicated about it. So in a case where no one had communicated that point, there's no existing dispute, and therefore the dispute had not yet arisen. Very briefly on company law matters, the second set of special rules, the case of Actual, the Supreme Court in this case overturned the Court of Appeal and said this is because the Brussels and Lugano regime have special rules for cases that relate to the company law matters, the constitution of individual companies. And the key take-home points is that when you're considering whether these company law exceptions apply, first, contrary to previous indications, there's no room for an overall evaluative assessment. Secondly, company law must be the principal subject matter of the claim. And thirdly, it's insufficient that some aspect of the case is linked to a company law issue. There's one little point that's still up in the air, which is what happens if you have a case that relates to both the special law on employment and also the special company law exception. That's going to be a lot less likely to happen, given that both in Arcadia and in Actual, if that's the correct pronunciation, the courts have narrowed to some extent the scope of those exceptions, but where so, probably the best view is that you have to bring whatever aspects of the claim, you have to separate it out and bring it in different jurisdictions if necessary. My final matter, saving the best, worst to last, is Brexit. The key update is that on Friday, the Commons voted 330 to 231 in favour of the withdrawal agreement that Boris Johnson's agreed in Europe in October. It goes now to the House of Lords. It's still not crystal clear whether there'll be a deal. In summary, though, if there is a deal, then we have an 11-month transition period where things to some extent have been frozen in place and subject to renegotiation in due course. All of the matters on jurisdiction and the applicable law are frozen in slightly subtly different ways. If there is no deal, however, we have something of a cliff edge before us. Brussels 1 recast, Lugano, all of it will be revoked and will cease to have effect on exit day. What we do know is that the current draft section 15C, as it is to be, of the Civil Jurisdiction and Judgment Act 1992 provides that in relation to matters relating to employment contract, where an employee is domiciled in the UK, they can only be sued in that part of the UK, but it says nothing whatsoever about non-UK domiciled employees. And what that means is that if we have the no-deal Brexit, if Section 15C comes into force, then it will be simply the common law rules that will apply. So if a German employee is in London for medical treatment or on holiday, that it might well be the case that they could be served then and there, subject to a future fight about forum non-convenience. And it's going to remain to be seen how the courts are going to look at these matters, knowing the policy that's behind this sort of provision, Section 15C, and also the special protection of employees in the Brussels and Lugano conventions, albeit we're no longer part of them.